Turn the Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, how we truly need you every day, every hour. And Lord, we even need you now as we look in your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us in the scriptures. And Lord, that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, when we're down and think we're out, may your word speak to us and guide us to be people of the book and people that'll stand for you. Lord, may you have glory in it all. In the name of Jesus, amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, looking at being in the wilderness. Let me share with you some background up to this chapter. Elijah is the prophet of God, the man of God, and he had prayed and it had not rained. Now, I want to remind you this, that the book of James in the New Testament says that we're a lot like Elijah. It calls Elijah a man of like passions like you and I. So it's good to study about Elijah, doesn't it? So he had prayed and it had not rained in the land, and the king at the time was Ahab. And Ahab did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he married a woman named Jezebel. And Jezebel led her husband and the people to worship Baal. Now Baal was a false god. And Baal was known as the rain god, fertility god, just another name of part of Nimrod and all the mystery religions. And Jezebel would say, lead the people, you can worship God and Baal. Okay? And brought in Baal worship into God's people. So here, God's people was called God's people, but they was worshiping Baal. And Elijah prayed and that it would not rain, and it hadn't rained. Now, after 3 years, Elijah sends for Ahab, and they meet. And Elijah says, Ahab, you bring all those prophets, 850 of them. Bring them to Mount Carmel, and we're going to see who's the God of Israel. So Ahab said, okay, and he calls all the prophets to Mount Carmel. And Elijah was there, and Elijah said and told the people, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. So there they were at Mount Carmel, and the worshipers of the groves, the prophets of the groves, and the worshipers of Baal were there. And they had a sacrifice, and they danced around and cut themselves, a manner of pagan worship, and all their rituals. And about midday, Baal hadn't worshipped. Baal had not responded to the worshipers. And Elijah started making fun of them. He said, where's Baal? Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe he's on a long journey. And making fun of them. Well, they continued on and cut themselves more and called out for Baal, and Baal didn't answer. So about the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah prepared an altar of the Lord and killed a young bull and laid it on the altar. And then he had them to pour water on the altar. I've been to Mount Carmel. The ocean is just right there. So they brought the water, poured it on it three times, and Elijah even dug a trench around the sacrifice, and the trench filled up with water also. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, let the people know that you're the God of Israel. And fire came from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, the wet sacrifice, consumed the rocks, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. And the people said, the Lord, the covenant name for God, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. Then Elijah said, bring all the prophets. And he slew them there. What a victory. I mean, we'd be on cloud nine if that happened. If our nation and our nation's leaders and all the people in our nation would say, Jesus is Lord, wouldn't that be a happy day? And then he prayed and rain began. After a long drought of 3 years, it rained. Now, Ahab was going back to Jezreel and Elijah outran and ran to Jezreel from Mount Carmel. And in chapter 19, Ahab comes to Jezebel and tells her everything that happened. And Jezebel sends a messenger to Elijah, the man of God, and said that your life is going to be like the life of one of my prophets this time tomorrow. And in other words, you better get out of town, buddy, because I'm going to kill you. And this man of God that prayed and fire came from heaven from the Lord and consumed the wet sacrifice and then killed 850 false prophets. You know what the man of God did? Instead of standing there against Jezebel, he ran. The Bible says that he ran for his life. And he ran into the wilderness. And he winds up under a broom tree or a juniper tree. And he says, what good is my life? I'm ready to die. That's being in the wilderness, isn't it? In the wilderness. Now, being in the wilderness can be very exhausting. Look in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 19. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. If he wanted to die, why didn't he stay in Jezreel and die for the Lord, standing for the Lord there? Verse 5, then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. But he was in the wilderness, exhausted. And you may be in a wilderness this morning, a wilderness in life. And you're exhausted, you're tired, and say, I've about had enough. I've about had enough. I'm tired. Maybe you're in a struggle financially. Maybe you're a caretaker. Maybe you've had a bad news of health lately. Maybe you got children gone crazy. Whatever it may be, you're in a wilderness. And you're tired, you're exhausted of being in that wilderness. And not only you're in a wilderness, you know what's in a wilderness? Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. In the wilderness. And those lions and tigers and bears may be all sorts of things that you're battling in life. And you got the armor of God on, but yet you're battling and you're battling. And it may be an addiction or something that has just grabbed a hold of your soul. And you're battling lions, tigers, and bears in the wilderness. And you're exhausted. Look in verses 6 through 8 with me. In the wilderness you must eat and drink. Verse 6, and he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back and the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. That's the Hebrew name for Sinai. But there, we must eat and drink when we're in the wilderness. You know, I have never watched a full show of one of these shows, but it seems like today there's many shows on television where people are dropped off into a wilderness or a deserted island or something like that, and they must survive. And one of the things they learn quick to survive, you got to eat, you got to have fresh water, don't you? You got to eat and drink when you're in the wilderness. And life becomes, for people like that, finding food, shelter, and something to drink. So we must eat and drink in a wilderness. You know, if you're in the wilderness under a juniper tree right now, there's lions and tigers and bears that you're battling. You know, physically, we're made up body, soul, and spirit. Physically, you need to eat. You need to eat. Have you ever... You may be there now, but I've been in times of my life that I just didn't feel like eating. There's other times it seems the opposite. When I get down, I want a bowl of peanut butter and jelly mixed up. And I want to eat it. But we need to eat and drink when we're in the wilderness. But listen, not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally with our soul. What can we feed upon and drink upon? The Word of God. You get in the Scriptures when you're in the wilderness. Get in the Scriptures. Feed upon the Word of God. Feed upon that manna. And meditate upon it. Drink upon it. Drink it into your soul when you're in the wilderness. Also in the wilderness, share your heart to the Lord. Verse 9 and 10. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And in that cave may have been the cleft of the rock that Moses himself God hid in. But again, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? In other words, you're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be standing against Jezebel and Ahab. But what are you doing here? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. He's fixing to have a pity party. You ever had one of them? I've been zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." He shared his heart to the Lord. Having a pity party, but what's the best person? Who's the best person to have a pity party with? The Lord. The Lord. Share your heart. You know, sometimes I have met people that was angry at God. Just flat out angry because of something that had happened in their life or in the life of one of their loved ones, and they were angry. And if you're angry with the Lord, tell them. Don't hold it in. Share it with the Lord. He knows you're angry. Share it with Him. If you're troubled in spirit, tell Him about it. "Lord, I'm troubled that this is going on in my life and I need help and it seems like I'm the only one concerned about it." Tell Him about it. Tell Him. Who's the best person to complain to? Complain to the Lord. You know why? If you complain to Him, maybe He will show you some things. But what I'm getting at is Elijah shared his heart to the Lord, and the Lord is fixing to speak to him. So in the wilderness, listen to the Lord. Verses 12 and 13, it says, "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" You see, there was a great wind that it even broke up the rocks, and an earthquake and a fire. And in the past, God did speak to people that way when He came and spoke to the children of Israel, when He spoke to Moses. But He was not in all of that when He was fixing to speak to Elijah. It could have been that the Canaanite deities that the people were worshiping at the time, the false gods, that they were gods of the wind, gods of the earth, gods of the fire. God said, "I'm not in none of that." But He wasn't in all those great big experiences. You know, even in our worship, I like to have a good time. I love that song with the tambourine. We need a drum to go with that. Maybe we need to get Braden out of the nursery and get him over here. He can play. If he can play the drums, get with rolling. But I like to have a good time in worship. I do. And if I could dance, I may dance a little bit. But I can't. I can't even slow dance with my wife hardly. I step on her toes in her living room. Okay, but I like to have a good time. But you know what? We don't need a pep rally to worship God, do we? I like to have a good time, but all that other stuff is emotions and all that, which is part of worship. But those quiet times, listen to me, we're talking about God was not in all of that wind and fire and earthquakes. But He's saying, "I'm not in that. Yes, I'm the God that answered by fire. But listen, I'm a personal God. And I will talk to you one-on-one. I want to have a relationship with you." And He spoke to Elijah in that still, small, quiet voice. because He is a personal God. And I promise you, when you're in the wilderness and you get alone with God and have your quiet times with the Lord, He'll speak to your soul in such a manner that there'll be no mistake. It's not my emotional high or my emotional low. I'm a person of faith. And I know that was God that was present with me at that time. Jesus Himself had to get away and have quiet times with the Father. So in the wilderness, we need to listen. God will speak to you louder than audible words if you'll listen. You feed upon that word and meditate upon it, and God will speak to your heart. Also in the wilderness of despair, realize you are not alone. Verse 18. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. God told Elijah to go anoint a couple of kings, anoint Elisha to be the next prophet. And then he said, by the way, Elijah, see, I'm not through with you, Elijah. You go anoint these two kings. Go put your mantle on Elisha, because I'm not through with you yet. You go get somebody that'll walk with you. Go get Elisha. And by the way, Elijah, you're not the only one. I got 7,000 that has not bowed down to Baal, who has not compromised the faith, who has not kissed Baal, who has never worshipped him in any way, shape, or form. I got 7,000. See, sometimes when we are in the wilderness, we think we're all by ourselves. We're not. By the way, God's not through with you until you're home. Did you know that? Until you're home. But He wasn't by Himself. And in the wilderness, we may think we're all by ourselves, but there's other people walking in the same wilderness as you are. You need to get with each other. You need to pray for one another. By the way, we're called a church family. Did you know that? If you're in a wilderness, share your burdens with one another. Let us pray for you. And you're not alone. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, since we're in the Old Testament, let's stay over there. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 says this, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. But be strong, because God is with you. The Lord is with you in the wilderness. What's so good about that verse, in the latter part of it, He will not leave you nor forsake you. A New Testament writer who wrote the book of Hebrews. You know, Hebrews is about the new covenant that you and I enter in by faith. Way before the law came, Abraham was called the friend of God, and God imputed righteousness upon Abraham's account. Why? Because he simply believed God. That's faith. And the example of Abraham and people of faith, you and I must enter in the blood covenant simply by faith, not by works, but it's by grace. And we simply believe God. In the latter part of Hebrews chapter 13, the writer uses this verse. First of all, in verse 8, he says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. But in verse 5 of Hebrews 13, he uses this. He will never leave you, nor forsake you. So in the wilderness, when there's lions and tigers and bears, and you're exhausted, and you think that you're all by yourself, remember this. Jesus is with you as a child of God. Amen? Trust in Him. Get in His Word and believe what He has to say. And I promise you, He'll speak to your heart. He will speak to your heart, and He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is. He is. Let's pray. Lord, again, we can relate so much to Elijah, a man of like passions. Lord, we pray that in the times of life, and we all, every one of us, Lord, has the same experiences of being down, maybe depressed or despaired, discouraged. Lord, I pray that during those times that we will seek You even more. And Lord, that we will be even more obedient to what You have to say. And I pray for the ones this morning that are present, that are in a dark, dark wilderness, maybe even in a valley. In the wilderness. I pray that even now, Your Holy Spirit will move grace upon their heart. Lord, give them courage. Give them security. Give them assurance, Lord, in that valley. Lord, I pray for the ones who do not know You personally. Lord, they're in a wilderness and of great despair and no hope. I pray Your Holy Spirit will woo their heart, Lord, and may they receive You and come to You by faith this morning as the Good Shepherd. We ask this again in Your name, Jesus.